translation by Srila Prabhupada. However, persons who have given up stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs, and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities, in discussions with one another can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. After describing the necessities of married life, Kadarma Muni asserts that marriage and other social affairs are stereotyped regulations for persons who are addicted to material sense enjoyment. The principles of animal life, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, are actually necessities of the body. But those who are engaged in transcendental Krishna consciousness, giving up all the stereotyped activities of this material world, are freed from all social conventions. Conditioned souls are under the spell of material energy or eternal time, past, present, and future. But as soon as one engages in Krishna consciousness, he transcends the limits of past and present and becomes situated in the eternal activities of the soul. One has to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions in order to enjoy material life. But those who have taken to the devotional service of the Lord are not afraid of the regulations of this material world. Such devotees do not care for the conventions of material activities. They boldly take to the shelter, which is like an umbrella against the sun of repeated birth and death. Constant transmigration of the soul from one body to another is the cause of suffering in material existence. This conditional life in material existence is called samsara. One may perform good work and take his birth in a very nice material condition. The process under which birth and death take place is like a terrible fire. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his prayers to the spiritual master, has described this. Samsara, or the repetition of birth and death, is compared to a forest fire. A forest fire takes place automatically, without anyone's endeavor, by the friction of dried wood. And no fire department or system or sympathetic person can extinguish it. The raging forest fire can be extinguished only when there is a constant downpour of water from a cloud. The cloud is compared to the mercy of the spiritual master. By the grace of the spiritual master, the cloud of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is brought in, and then only, when the rains of Krishna consciousness fall, can the fire of material existence be extinguished. This is also explained here. In order to find freedom from this stereotyped conditional life of material existence, one has to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, not in the manner in which the impersonalists indulge, but in devotional service, chanting and hearing of the activities of the Lord. Only then can one be freed from the actions and reactions of material existence. It is recommended here that one should give up the conditional life of this material world and the association of so-called civilized human beings who are simply following, in a polished way, the same stereotyped principles of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. Chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord is described there as Tvatuna Vada Siddhu. Tvatuna Vada Siddhu. Only by drinking the nectar of chanting and hearing the pastimes of the Lord can one forget the intoxication of material existence. Lokamcha lokam nugatam asumcha vidvasritaste charana tupatram parasparam tvarguna bhade siddhu vityushaneya pitadeya dhanma. However, persons who have given up stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs, and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities, in discussions with one another, can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. Oma gyana tamarandasya gyana gyana salakaya chakshurun militam yena tasma shi guruve namah. Sri Chaitanya Manom Vishta Shabita Miram Bhutale Sayam Rupa Gita Mayam Dadati Swam Bhutantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Girada Shivasri Gaurava Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So sometimes people accuse that we are neglecting even the primary necessities of life. They make that accusation that you people, you are neglecting the primary necessities of life. What are the primary necessities of life? The primary necessities of life are looking after the bodily needs, eating, sleeping, enjoying or having sex life, and fear. These are the primary necessities of life. People think that without these things, one will surely die. One will not be able to exist. Therefore, people feel that these activities in the material world are very, very necessary, very much required. They have an obsession. They're obsessed with the bodily concept of life. Because they're obsessed with the bodily concept of life, they feel that maintenance of the body is the all in all of existence. There is no higher principle than looking after your body. Isn't it? They're thinking that the body itself is the primary importance of life. And this is called muda. Muda means the donkey. Yes. If you study the donkey, he is a very wonderful character because he has a complete, gross, stupid-looking body. There's nothing more stupid than a donkey. He looks stupid. When you look at him, you think, this is a stupid fellow, isn't it? And if you look at him, he has big genitals. He's always thinking of sex. And when he thinks of sex, his genitals get bigger and bigger. Have you seen donkey when he's thinking of sex? I've seen it on a number of occasions in Cairo also. So, his main primary concern is the other sex. And when he goes for sex life with the female, she kicks him in the face. Right in the face. Crack. You can hear the crack. She's very good at kicking. Female donkeys are very good at kicking. I've seen them. They can jump with both legs and they can hit right in the face. So, another thing about the donkey is he likes to make poetry. He thinks that his voice is very sweet. And this braying, he does this braying activity. Something like that. Then it gets louder and louder. So, it's a very obnoxious noise. So, sometimes people come up and give him a beating. Because the noise is so obnoxious. And it's not very soft, it's very, very loud. So, he works very hard because he needs some grass. In India and also in other third world countries, they beat the donkey very hard. He is, if you look at his skin, you'll find that most of his skin is frankly worn off his back. He's beaten, kicked, whipped. And he carries very heavy loads on his back. Because no one cares a damn about the donkey. Nobody. Donkeys are used for maximum. They use them for carrying up mountainsides, isn't it? Up the hills. They use them for carrying bricks on building sites in India. Huge amounts of bricks on their back. So the donkey is put to work in very, very gross way. And they give him a kick. I've seen them in Cairo. They kick him. But at the end of the day, they get a little grass. Because if you don't give him some grass, he'll die. So you have to give him something. So they give him a little sack, and they put it on his mouth, and he eats a bit of grass. While he's eating the grass, he's thinking, oh, everything is fine. Everything is very nice. Look at this nice grass that I got to eat. So this is the nature of the material world. Even though the living entity is in a very pathetic situation. His material life is very pathetic. And he is engaged in these stereotyped worldly affairs. Everyone is doing the same old thing. There's no difference what we are doing to what that donkey is doing. We're doing it a little bit more polished. We get a little better sex life, a little better eating, a little better sleeping. But at the same time, our anxieties are actually much, much more. We have much, much more anxiety than the donkey. You don't find any mental home for disturbed donkeys, do you? Have you seen anything where they have mentally disturbed donkeys? Very few. I've not seen a mentally disturbed donkey. But I've seen many mentally disturbed humans. Because the human being is full of anxieties. Full of anxieties. Because these anxieties are caused because he has this audacity to think that he's the controller. The human is so puffed up, so arrogant, so proud that he thinks that I'm the controller. Even though he's controlling nothing. Can't even control his own sleeping habits. Isn't it? Nothing is under control. The body is totally a pathetic bundle of misery. And the stereo activities are there. All stereo. Eating, we have to eat. As soon as there is a ding-ding bell, sariyar, immediately we're down there. Immediately our big tongue is open. As soon as we see a nice pretty girl, immediately disturbed. Isn't it? Immediately disturbed. Oh, here is some nice sex life for me. And as soon as there's nice opportunity for sleeping, then everyone is very eager. Have a snooze. Even during Bhagavatam, snoozy time. Isn't it? Have a snooze. So sleeping and anxiety is full of anxieties. All the time in anxiety. I'm in control. I'm the big shot around here. I have to worry about everything. Without me, the whole universe would collapse. The economy will collapse. The government will go out of business. ISKCON will be finished. These are the way people think, even though we can exaggerate, yes, but still, individually, everyone is thinking, because of me, things are going on. Because of me. The whole egocentric misconception of the mind is that things are all centered around me. That's why people love to have news brought to them. They want the news brought so they can check everything out, inspect it, make sure things are going on according to their plan. So they like to keep up to date what's going on, as if it's very important to them. What difference are they going to make, whether they read it or don't read it? It's still going to happen, isn't it? They have to inspect it. They have to look to see. What did they do today? Oh, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that. So many opinions they have, but their opinions are all useless. Because nature is created in very, very stringent laws. Very, very stringent laws. They're very precise laws. Prabhupada said there's even laws for how many times you blink in a day. There are demigods in charge of your blinking of your eyes. There are demigods in charge of your the hairs on your body, and the water, the air, the sun, the moon, everything is controlled, very finely, microscopically controlled. Not like our control. When we try to control something, we're thick-headed, absent-minded, stupid, pathetic. That is not how Krishna's arrangement is going on. It is going on very, very precisely. Very, very precisely. Your body is a precise mechanism which is created to interact with another mechanism. Just like your body is created to interact with food. When you eat food, there are so many things in your body which correspond to the eating of that food. How did they get there? How did they know that you were going to put certain type of foodstuffs? Isn't it? Just like a lion. A lion is expertly created for eating meat. He's a meat-eating machine. It's no good feeding him grapes. He's created to do a certain function. His body is perfect for meat eating. He doesn't need a cooker, doesn't need a pan, doesn't need a menu, doesn't need any recipes. He's got beautiful claws that can rip apart a body in seconds, minutes. He can have it all ripped to shreds. And his teeth can bite huge big bones, elephant bones. He can bite any bones. Very, very powerful jaws. You see, lion? Ravi, you see, big jaws. You could actually, some lions could just put their head in your mouth, in his mouth, and just like cracking a nut. Especially if they had a small head, you could get in. Ravi's head, he could definitely get in and just be the end of that. You could chew it up like eating a dolly mixture. So therefore we can understand how this wonderful arrangement is there. This body is arranged for it has certain laws, and we see that those functions of the body are systematically arranged with the system of foodstuffs. Certain animals eat certain foodstuffs. Just like a hog can actually eat all day long, stool, taking to spiritual life. Just like many times people say, oh, but if you don't marry, oh, if you don't get married, oh, look what you miss in life. It's so important. It's so important you should get married. These are natural necessities, Prabhu. But that's because they have faith in this institution called marriage. But if we look at the institution called marriage, we find that nowadays, something in the region of out of, say, 10 marriages, 7 of them are on the rocks. So what was so wonderful? Out of those 10 people, 7 of them made a complete blunder. Isn't it? So therefore, we have this idea that marriage is so important. Important to what? It's important because it is important to the stereo conception of the material world. We want to follow. We want to follow other animals. We want to follow other humans who have taken this course in life. We feel that because the body has certain necessities, these necessities have to be fulfilled. But an intelligent personality can understand, are these activities related to me? That's a big question. Because the question is that, who are you? Who are you? That is the most important question. Atata Brahma Jignasya. Now, atata means now is the time to find out, who am I? Am I an animal? Am I an animalistic person who has to fulfill his animal nature? The animal nature means eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the things which go on because of the human body. As long as you have a body and you're connected with the body, these things are connected with your consciousness. But here, Prabhupada is explaining how Gadarma Muni, even though originally he did point out to the Lord that he wanted to have a cow of plenty, and wanted a wife. He wanted a cow of plenty. But now, as Prabhupada says, as Gadarma Muni said, however, persons who have given up stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly followers, very strong language, no nicey-nicey, isn't it? Beasts, the beastly followers. The beastly followers of these affairs, and have taken shelter, and have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities in discussions with one another, can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. Is Gadarma Muni a liar? Is he telling lies? Are the great acharyas cheating us? Is Lord Krishna cheating us? And the proof can be seen that if you take shelter of Krishna, all of these things will become reduced more and more. That is a sign of advancement in spiritual life. This propensity for eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing will become more and more reduced. That fearing comes also in the idea that I might miss something.
Here I am in the prime of my youth. I have a wonderful body. The girls are always looking at me. They can just about handle my wonderful, handsome features and my wonderful abilities. They have yet to see my mastership over knowledge and qualities. I have to reveal to them my wonders. But should I miss that opportunity, look what I will be missing. Look what the world might not be able to see. The unlimited display that I am capable of doing. Some Mataji or Matajis will not be able to have the wonderful pleasure of being in my association. And having my strong arms around them to give them protection. To give them shelter that they need. In this way, the foolish living entity thinks that somehow or other he has something to offer to the material world. And this anxiety is that I must find myself this cow of plenty who can give me lots of nice sense gratification, and I can, of course, give her wonderful things that she's never had before. And I am so wonderful that this link should be linked up as soon as possible. These are the anxieties, this fearing. This anxiety goes on in so many different levels. That anxiety that this sense gratification may pass me by. If I become too absorbed in Krishna's service, the years are rolling by. Look, before I was 24, now I'm 27, now I'm 30. Oh my goodness. All those Matajis out there are going to be crying soon because I'll be a little bit too old. They won't be so attracted to me. So this fearing is there. This anxiety. One becomes fearful. I might even give my life to Krishna. God forbid such a thing could take place. I mean, it could happen without me even noticing it. It might just slip by. I mean, all of these activities are very nice, but I might forget about the necessities of life. The very necessities that I've come here for. The reason for my existence, the reason that I'm here, could be forgotten in devotional service. Oh my goodness. Quick, let me find something in here that says you have to find a wife. Oh, I found something here. Look, Prabhu, it says it here. One must immediately go and search out the cow of plenty. Great, great. I'll quote that. Make a note of it. Put it in my book. Anytime any of these so-called artificial renunciates come up to me, I can quote this very quickly and say, yes, but I saw it. Prabhupada says. Very clear. One has to get married. Otherwise, all sorts of horrible things can occur in your life. One has to be. Because after all, I'm going to live to be ripe and old. What will I do in my old age? No little kiddie-witties to look after me. No wife to comfort me. No house to shelter me. I will simply be disregarded by everyone because of my old age and feebleness. So all these anxieties haunt the mind. But they are all maya. M-A-Y-A. Maya means that which is not. The living entity is thinking that I am this body. Ahankara. This ahankara vimuratma. This is what is making me an ass. Because I'm thinking of this body. This useless combination of elements that have nothing to do with the Supreme Personality of God. Could you offer Krishna some mucus? Could you offer Krishna some bile? Some bad, stinky air? Some bones? What is in your body that you can offer Krishna? Think about it. What is it that within your body or any part of your body that you can offer Krishna? Rather, you have to constantly wash your body, even to bring it in a temple. It's such a disgusting place to be. So therefore, what is it that you've got in your body that's of any use to Krishna? Can you pull out a few veins? You think Krishna needs a few veins? No. There's nothing about your body that's of any use to anyone. But there's millions of things in your mind that you think are useful to everyone. Millions and billions of things haunt your mind that, yes, I'm so useful, I'm so important, I'm so needed, I'm so wonderful. I'm so wonderful I can't even cope with it anymore. So this is the nature of illusion of Maya, that she makes us feel that this tiny little stopgap life, a few seconds, a few moments, just like devotees are thinking, oh, I'm going to live. We don't know what is our living. We have no jurisdiction over time. We have no... Many people think, there are many, many people lying in graves right now, been eaten by worms, who thought that they were going to be doing something this week. Look at our Lady Diana. There she is now, been starting to be infested by maggots. The beginning of the eating process, that nice body that charmed the minds of so many men who read about it and saw it in glossy magazines. Now the little old maggots. They're going to have their feast. And she thought she was going to be running around with little Prince Charlie and Prince Willie, or whatever the name, what's his name? Prince Harry, Prince Willie, down in the Riviera, Central Palace, or cruising over to wherever, to meet whoever. She thought so many things. And there are many, many people like her, lying in their little coffins. But all of those activities they thought they should be doing and would be doing with all their millions and millions of pounds that they had in the bank. Millions of pounds. Rotten. That's still in the bank. All her big bank balance is still there. She's not there. So that is the truth of the reality that we think we're going to live. Because we think we're going to live, because we have faith in this world, therefore we think that these things are going to be very much important. Our future is very important. One mustn't neglect this future. The future could be very rosy. It could be wonderful. We could become anything. But in actuality, the future is not ours. It doesn't belong. It belongs to Krishna. Krishna is the Lord of time, therefore it is his future. Whatever he wants, that's what will happen. So therefore, this paranoia of life is another transformation of the mind in association with material illusion. The mind is full of so much nonsense and garbage. But in reality, if you look at it, there's no man who can claim the next second as his own. Nobody. There's no person who can say they're going to live one more day, one more hour, one more year. So constant transmigration of the soul from one body to another is the cause of suffering in material existence. The very thing which is causing our suffering we want to prolong. That thing we want to prolong. That thing we want to sustain. That thing we want to protect. The actual thing which is causing our suffering is our attachment to the material world, attachment to the material body. That's the thing we want to protect and prolong. That means we are materialists. We are materialists. We are not devotees. We are materialists because a materialist is worried about material things. A devotee is worried about Krishna. Whether Krishna feels satisfied by my activities, whether Krishna is pleased by what I'm doing, whether Krishna is pleased by my plan making. These are the things which haunt the mind of the devotee. He's always thinking about Krishna and, as it says here, been intoxicated by Krishna's pastimes. These are the things which have some substance. Krishna's pastimes are eternal. Our pastimes are non-eternal. They have no significance. Look back at what everything you've done up until now. What part of it was significant? What has given you any permanent good? How many meals did you eat? How many people did you talk to? How many beds did you lie in? All of these things that we've done, we're going to do them over and over again. Over and over again, chewing to chew, constantly chewing on the same old thing over and over again. And later on, again, we'll have to look back and say, what was it I did that was of any significance? Go around all these people who have produced so many children and worked their hearts out and ask them, was it all worth it? Be honest. Few can actually say the whole thing was worth it, because all of those little kiddie-witties that they brought up, they've all gone off and done their own thing, leaving their parents to get old and decrepit. And then when they get too old and decrepit, they'll stuff them in some home for the senile or whatever, they'll stick them in the geriatric wards of the hospitals, because they interfere with their sense gratification. Isn't it? So, material nature is actually very, very cruel to the foolish human entities. She does not tolerate their foolish activities. Therefore, she is always constantly whipping them. Constantly whipping and smashing them. So that they may somehow or other wake up. Wake up to realize that these activities are all useless, animalistic activities. They are no different from the cow or the hog or the dog that's out in the field sniffing around, eating something, having a bit of sex, falling asleep, and in anxiety. They're no different. Maybe done in big, big houses or big, big or whatever. But they're all simply the same old activity, bodily activities, things which are related to the material world. But they will not give any nectar to the soul. Because these activities are not related to Krishna. So Krishna causes means we have to Krishnaize everything. We have to Krishnaize means that we have to transform this energy into the service of Krishna. And all of this energy should be used to glorify Guru Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who performs wonderful activities. Those activities of Krishna, we can see, they are activities which are beyond the stereotyped fears of this material world. They are beyond the beastly activities of matter. And therefore, that is why Gautama Muni, after describing the necessity of married life, Gautama Muni asserts that marriage and other social affairs are stereotyped regulations for persons who are addicted to material sense enjoyment. Those who are addicted, and Krishna says, for Bhogeshwarya, for those who are too much attached to material sense gratification, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. Devotional service takes place under certain conditions. And if those conditions are too materialistic, then devotional service will not take place. There is a very fine line between being engaged in Krishna's service and being engaged in your own material desires, your own sins. And therefore, devotional service is naturally a declaration of war on the material energy process. A declaration of war. Why? Because samsaradava, every morning we are singing samsaradava nandhi tunayadava nandhi tasikalvana gulalabhasya bandhi grasi charanaravindam. Samsara means the repeated cycle
of birth and death. So this samsara dhava means that it is like a great blazing forest fire. When there's a forest fire, huge forests catch fire, then the little drops of water that we throw on it, just like you may see a big forest fire, so you may come running along with a big bucket, isn't it? Sometimes if you try to put a fire in it, you have this bucket, you can just about carry it because it's so heavy anyway. And then by the time you get there, you've spilled half of it. And by the time you actually throw on the fire, it doesn't even make an impression. It looked like it increased the fire. Sometimes you try to put on a big fire, it just looks like it didn't make any effect at all. So this is called pathetic, a pathetic endeavor to put out a fire. Even if the big fire engines come along, what can they do against the forest? They'll get melted. Their whole engine will be melted. They, their engine, and all of their tubing will all be melted. Isn't it? Because forest fire is very, very powerful heat. Huge amount of heat. Even sometimes they send helicopters over, they also get melted up. Burnt up. You have to see a forest fire to really see. Sometimes it destroys thousands and millions of acres of woodland. So the only hope, the only one single hope is that the great cloud, huge storm of water comes. Then, just like there are these clouds at the end of the devastation of the universe, so they wash away the whole universe. Imagine how big this was. When the universe is burned up by the fire of the sun, and these clouds come up. So therefore, this shelter of the spiritual master and the shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the shelter of guru, shastras, and sadhus, these are the soothing shelter of the umbrella of Krishna consciousness. So one who has taken shelter on this umbrella of Krishna consciousness, then they can be protected from the fire of material life. So one has to take shelter. So the raging forest fire can be extinguished only when there is constant downpour of water for the cloud. The cloud is compared to the mercy of the spiritual master. By the grace of the spiritual master, the cloud of the mercy of the personality of Godhead is brought in. And then, only when the rains of Krishna consciousness fall, can the fire of material existence be extinguished. In order to find freedom from the stereotyped conditional life of material existence, one has to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, not in the manner in which the impersonalists indulge, but in devotional service, chanting and hearing of the activities of the Lord. Now this chanting and hearing is very, very important. It's not a stereotyped reading of a book. It is actually meditation on the transcendental pastimes of form. So in other words, one must become convinced about Krishna. Otherwise, this chanting and hearing will not take place. Why is it people are so convinced about the material world? Because they have a conviction, isn't it? They have a conviction. Therefore, they're very serious about the material activities. They have faith in their material life. They have faith that if they get a nice house, nice family, nice bank balance, nice so many things, that they will be happy. They have faith in it. That is their faith. So similarly, we must have the same faith in Krishna. Otherwise, we will not engage in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Why is it that certain people don't become very enthusiastic in the material world? Because they lose faith. Isn't it? Similarly, why is it that certain devotees are not very enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness? Because they lose faith. Everything hinges on faith. If you don't have faith in Krishna, then you cannot perform devotional service. You see?
The first thing is Shraddha, faith. You have to have faith. Without the required faith, there will be no determination. People act according to gain. By nature, we all have a tendency to want to gain something. It's a natural thing. So if we don't think there's anything to be gained, then we won't do anything to gain it. Isn't it?